Tomorrow I have an opportunity to meet Rafael Cruz at 11 o'clock. I covered your prayers. He's a minister. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I discovered this week that my dog is a socialist. Really. He makes a mess, and then he expects me to clean it up. Everything I own is his, you know. And John F. Kennedy said this, "Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." The church has gotten to the place where we need to take that mindset. What are you going to give me, God? No. What can I do for you, God? You see? Hallelujah. So I don't know, maybe I've done this once in 28 years, but we're going to hear the preaching of God's word, and then we're going to have a song service. And God was very specific in doing this tonight, because I believe through it, we're going to see some things happen that ordinarily wouldn't happen. Amen. How many have a mouth? Look at the hands. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know how to use your mouth? Amen. Glory to God. All right. So we're going to talk about your mouth tonight. I'd like you to turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verse 34. Jesus said in verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So you may think that it's your lips beating together that make the sounds, but it really is coming from much deeper than that. It's your heart. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of the judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So what God is saying, and what we need to be, is very careful as to what we say and use our mouth for, because God's saying every time we open our mouth, we're going to be judged by it, especially by the Lord. And then if you'll turn to Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So as we say good things, and as we project good things, and as we quote scriptures, there's a reward for that, for saying the right thing at the right moment. I'm telling you, sometimes we're so hesitant of saying something to somebody about the Lord, or even saying something to somebody about, you know, are you consistent? Are you doing what you should be doing? That there is a reward as a result of it. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. We ask, God, that you would touch it, anoint it, and cause us to somehow, through it, grow stronger, have a better understanding of who you are and what you would have for each and every one of us. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." All of us have members, as the body has members in particular. Of all of the members of the body, the most powerful member in your body is the mouth, according to the scriptures. Solomon declared that death and life are in the power of the tongue, or the mouth. It's what we say that gives us life, or what we say that will literally condemn us. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said that They needed to continue to acknowledge God with their mouth in order to be saved. Now, that scripture has been just badly construed and twisted, but nevertheless, it's still the scripture. Would you turn to Romans, the 10th chapter? Romans 10, starting in verse number 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. The scriptures say faith comes by hearing the word of God, but then there's something special that happens when we speak the word of God. We speak to diseases, we speak to trouble, we speak to things, and God said if you had enough faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be ye removed. So even though you have faith, somehow you have to open your mouth in order to use that faith in a power situation. Verse number 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, over the years, I've heard so many people declare that all they had to do in order to be saved is to confess or repeat the sinner's prayer and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Well, they just can't pronounce somebody to be saved. You can't shake somebody's hand. You can't just lift your hand and say, God, I love you, and that's all there's to it, because it's completely different than what the scriptures say. Let's just skip over what Jesus said in John 3 and 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So is there a contradiction between that scripture and what we just read in Romans, the 10th chapter? Let's just skip over what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and 21, the like figure whereunto even now baptism does also save us. So Peter's saying baptism is a part of salvation. Jesus saying water and spirit are a part of salvation. And what Paul was doing is he's writing to a church in Rome who had already been born of the water, born of the Spirit, but he's saying there's an important element that you cannot forget, and that is you still have to open your mouth and you have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to him, I love you, God, I'm going to be faithful to you, but confess before people, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power to save us. So we don't circumvent some scriptures and apply others to be saved. However, we can't ignore the scripture in Romans, the 10th chapter. Paul is writing to us that we need to acknowledge the Lord Jesus on a regular basis with our mouth for our continued salvation. It's not once saved, always saved. You know, you can't be pried out of the hands of God. No, our names can be blotted out of the book of life. And even Paul said, you know, even though I've preached to many, I myself could become a castaway. Now, if Paul was worried about losing his salvation, each and every one of us should be worried about making a stand for God, not being moved, but also declaring to God, I love you, and I'm going to stay with you, and declaring to people around us. Now, please hear me. The answer to what we need is nearer than you could imagine. It is our mouth. David learned a spiritual concept during his life that helped him get strength from God in his trials, and something that would completely give him victory and silence over all of his enemies. And that's the thing that we have to deal with. Okay, we've been baptized, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but we have to get victory over trials and situations in our life, but also against the enemy. It was so simple, and we read about it throughout the Psalms, how David got his victory, even though he went through many, many situations, and Paul and Peter went through many situations, but they were able to overcome. Psalms 8 and 2 says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy." Because the devil launches so many attacks against the church. Every day there's some kind of attack that is launched against you. And sometimes we have this misunderstanding that because we're in the church, we're no longer going to get bad thoughts in our minds or temptations or situations that open up to us, and we have to make another choice to do the right thing over and over again. I've been serving God for a long time, and yet I still have those struggles. Every one of us will. We have these attacks that come against the church, and the Lord has given us one weapon that will stand strong in the face of all of those assaults. Jesus referred to this same concept during his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. As he came into the city and the people began to realize that he was the Messiah, Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he began to enter the city, and they began to worship him with great zeal and great excitement. I mean, it was triumphal. They got excited on Palm Sunday as we got excited here a week ago on Palm Sunday. And then it says in Matthew 21 and 16, "And said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." Now notice that David said, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength," while Jesus said, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." Now, Jesus didn't just misquote that. Rather, he interpreted the scriptures, his scriptures, and explained the truth David had discovered, that there is a supernatural strength loosed on behalf of us when we praise God. There is a strength, there is a joy, there is something that happens to us that nothing else will give us, you see. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, you put so much emphasis on praise. You're always talking about worshiping God. That is because I understand how closely connected praise and victory is. How closely connected worshiping God gives us strength and gives us joy, and it gives us this energy in order to continue to live for God. When I see people coming into church and they sit down, they do absolutely nothing in order to worship God, put their hands over their head and sing the songs, not just look at the screen and look at other people, I'm worried, because I'm wondering, are they going to have enough strength in order to continue? Because when the attacks come, hallelujah. No one was more attacked than David in the Old Testament, but it's always, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord for," you know? Amen. Hallelujah. Your simple act of praise is bigger than you are, has more faith than you have, because it connects us with a God who is bigger than we are and is able to take from us all of the trials and all of the weaknesses and all of the things that we go through and exchange it with strength and endue us with a greater power, because there's exchange of praise, you see. That's why you can't live for God at home. You've got to get in an atmosphere when Jesus is walking into this triumphal service, and all of a sudden there's an energy that comes from heaven and angels surround this place. All of a sudden I have a new attitude and a new zeal and a new excitement to live for God again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise accomplishes what we cannot accomplish. Because it launches spiritual weapons at the enemy that demolish his strength and silence the voice that you get in your head. Amen. Well, how do you know that's going on in your head? I know it does, because it goes on in my head. Amen. Some of the worst thoughts that I've ever had, I've got in church. Well, where did that come from? It came from the enemy. But when I start worshiping God, when I start lifting up his name, when I give him the praise and I give him the glory, then all of a sudden, I don't care about those thoughts anymore. They're not my thoughts. The devil is fishing. He's throwing a lure into your mind, and he's seeing if you're going to follow this thing. And right in the middle of song service, right in the middle of the preaching, throws out a thought. Okay, can I get you back again? The Bible teaches that the mouth is the center of spiritual warfare. So Jesus knew it was written in Luke, the fourth chapter, when he was having this challenge with the enemy. But he had to say, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shalt thou. See, that's where the strength came. 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, and he knew what he had to do. He had to open his mouth and say it, even though he's the one who wrote it. Amen. See, we know a lot of scripture, but somehow we have to open our mouth. You know, it'd be well that you walk back and forth here before service. I do. And you open your mouth and you talk to God. Amen. That you take your Bible and open it up and read it out loud. It makes a difference to read the word out loud. Because every enemy is gone as a result of reading the word of God. He sticks his bony fingers in his ears and says, I got to get out of here. I can't stand this any longer, Amen. You see. You know, think on these things. That's what Paul said to the Philippians, those things that are good and pure and of good report, all of those things, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, so keep your minds and heart. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just start worshiping God. In your worst moment, you got to worship God. Amen. Praise doesn't change God's power. It changes our perspective of what God can do for us, you see. We magnify the Lord in praise, like David found out. If he would magnify the Lord, you know, he's taken captive by the king of Gad, and they told him, you're going to die, just like, you know, Paul thought and Peter thought. And so the Bible says that he framed himself mad, and they said, get out of here, get out of here. Well, if you really look at the scripture, it wasn't that he was acting as if he lost his mind. He just started worshiping God to the point where God delivered them. God delivered them. They started singing songs in prison, and God delivered them. Fine mess we're in now, huh? What are we going to do now? I told you not to preach to those people. No, they started worshiping God. Instead of murmuring, you start lifting up the God who can save us. Would you turn to Psalms 34? Psalm 34, verse number 1 said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Boy, that must be good for church. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So you see, first of all, you start praising God continually and magnify the Lord together with others, and all of a sudden, he takes away all your fears. I got a call this week, And they left a message on my answering machine. It says, "This is IRS and we're going to sue you. Call this number back today." And I didn't know they did that. My wife got the message, and so she immediately called back, you know. And they said, "Listen, over the period from 2009 until 2014, you miscalculated and you now owe $1,584. We've been to your house twice to get this taken care of, and if you do not take care of it today with a credit card, we're going to have to come out and take you away." I'm a whole lot smarter. But you see, when you're living for God and you're worshiping Him, come on. Come on. You know, I'm afraid there are some who would fall prey to that kind of thing. And it's easy to do because the enemy deals with fear. But we need to let Him get fearful when we start worshiping God. Hallelujah. If we continue to praise Him with our mouth, we will be delivered from all of our fears. That's what the Bible said. God told Moses when he thought he was inadequate in order to deliver Israel because he was just a poor shepherd and he hadn't been living for God like he should for a long time, "I will be with thy mouth, not your arms, not your head, not your wisdom, but with your mouth." Let's look at Exodus, the fourth chapter. Exodus 4 and verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither theretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." So God's saying, "I made your mouth. I'm going to be with your mouth. You are my advocate. You have a ministry of reconciliation. And the only way you can reconcile anybody to God is by opening your mouth." Now, Psalms 81 and 10 says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." So God's saying, if you will open your mouth, we have been delivered from bondage. And if we will praise God, He will bless us. He will keep us. Psalms 149 and 6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand." So in other words, when we start worshiping God and praising Him, all of a sudden we have a defense. We have the Word of God. And as we praise God, we can use the Word of God to defeat the enemy as Jesus did in the wilderness. I believe some have not experienced the joy of the Lord for a while. I really, and that's my greatest fear of the church today, is that we become apathetic, we become traditional. We come, we put in our time, and we leave without leaving an offering. I believe some haven't experienced, even some have some depression that has come on them, even though they are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized, all because they haven't really praised God, really praised God, really praised God in a long while. I did that when I got the Holy Ghost, you see. But that's the start. That's not the finish. you see. There's a necessity. There's a necessity. Yes, they've been in service. Yes, they've experienced song services and the specials, but they aren't getting the strength or the joy that they need in order to overcome because they haven't personally put forth enough effort in order to give God praise. I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm telling you, here is the avenue, here's the way that we need to take in order to have greater spiritual strength and joy within our Lord, in our Lord. And we will not be so conflicted, and we won't have to pull ourselves to come to church. You know, when I see people around the altar and they're staying after altar call and worshiping God, you know, those people don't backslide. They don't. You know, and that's the kind of church that we have to attract those that are outside this building, folks. Hallelujah. But when you get to the place where service is over, and you walk out of here, or you just feel that the worship service is for these people up front, then I worry about it. Because you're not getting the strength, you're not getting the joy, you're not getting the zeal that you really need, you see. Hallelujah. Pastor, do you feel like worshiping God every service? No. Because I get the weight of a lot of things over and over again. And frankly, that's why I don't talk to people before service. Because I want to have a clear mind in order to worship God and get as much strength and joy and zeal as I possibly can in order to deal with those things. Because if I didn't have that strength, I get weighed down with problems, but I know I must worship God in order to get the victory. Amen. You mandate this, you overemphasize it, but I understand the importance involved in this situation. I'm seeing our churches on Wednesday night have 15 or 20 people, and they have two songs and a 15-minute love you church message and then leave or not have church at all anymore. And what's happening is we have an anemic church, people who don't want to come to church unless you give them a 32-inch color TV and have some rappers who will entertain them. That's what it's come to, you see. We want to be entertained. No, we need to entertain somebody. Would you turn to Psalms 126? Psalms 126 in verse number 1, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathens, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hallelujah. Laughter and singing. This should be a place. I see these little kids, especially Monday's kids, you know, getting the church and jumping and rolling and jumping and got that music going before the service. Oh, are they silly? No, they're not. Hallelujah. More of us should have some joy breakdowns even before the service starts. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Oh, glory to God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord so I can sit there. And he's going long tonight. Hallelujah. And you wonder, if we don't produce anything on Wednesday nights, nobody wants to come. Because it's a half a service. It's a half a praise. We don't put our best specials on the platform. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah 55. Now, this preaching is not for you. It's for the person sitting directly next to you. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. Whereas the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Now, God is saying, I'm gonna give you my word, and something is going to happen to you. It's going to change you. Amen. But the same is true when we open our mouth and give him praise, something just as important happens to us, and God has this incentive to come and bless you. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 59, please. Verse number 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the redeemed shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Verse 1 of 60 says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I'm telling you, the Lord has put words within our mouth that are going to extend from this generation to the next generation, but they have to be repeated over and over again. Pastor, didn't you use that scripture 2 weeks ago? Probably. We're going to keep repeating these scriptures over and over and over again. I am not going to be intimidated not to use Acts 2 and 38 because everybody knows it. Hopefully, there's somebody in the church that has never heard it before. You see, if God can control your mouth, he can control you. If you will not praise God and confess with your mouth, I wonder if salvation will still be there. Before I got the Holy Ghost, I believed that everybody in the world could receive the Holy Ghost, but I don't think I could ever receive the Holy Ghost. It took me 3 months before I realized that I could receive the Holy Ghost. I remember going on a cross-country ski trip with about 20 people up at Green Lake, and it was really an outstanding trip, but I was the only one that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I got to the place where I wanted the Holy Ghost so bad. I remember getting on this large hill, and I was skiing down the hill, and I'm thinking, God, before I get to the bottom, I want the Holy Ghost. I want it right now. I realized that God didn't work that way. My pastor sought for the Holy Ghost 9 years before he got the Holy Ghost. And he would be the first one to tell you that it was his fault, not God's fault. But what God did in the 3 months when I was seeking the Holy Ghost is he taught me how to open my mouth and worship him. Without caring about the next person there, it didn't matter. I got so desperate for the Holy Ghost. If God would have said, you're at the restaurant, I want you to stand on the table and start worshiping me now because I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, I would have done that because I was so desperate for the Holy Ghost. But in that time, he was teaching me. But, you know, I thought, you know, I could get the Holy Ghost in some dignified way, you know. God. Wait a minute. God. As I remember, there was snot running from my nose. Somebody was grabbing my hair and mussing it up, and that's just not a good thing for me, you know. I learned I had to open my mouth because I had this misconception that, you know, I'd get the Holy Ghost and people would tell me what happened, you know. You see, I had to say the words of praise to him, and then he would put different words, his words, in my mouth. And when I left that night, I couldn't even believe it happened to me. And I thought to myself, wow, all these months, and it's so simple, all I had to do is open my mouth and worship him. Now, you may have walked in here with a problem tonight. In fact, probably everybody walked in here with a problem tonight. But the simplicity is, all you have to do is open your mouth and worship him. He said he would take away all of the fears. He said he would heal our bodies. He said he would comfort us. He said he would provide for us. But somebody in this place has got to open their mouth. Somebody's got to worship him. Hallelujah. You see, we can't give ourselves the Holy Ghost. But we must worship and speak out loud in praise, and then God puts the words in our mouth. Would you turn to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, in the first chapter. Verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That's what he did for me. And that's what he did for you. If I was willing to go, if I was willing to do, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. If we had spiritual eyes in this place, and how many people has God touched their mouth and put his words in their mouth? I've been with literally thousands of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost over the years, and I can tell you there has never been anybody who has been filled with the Holy Ghost that wasn't opening their mouth and worshiping God. And I've never seen anybody refilled unless they were opening their mouth and worshiping God. Hallelujah. The ultimate expression of praise is when we allow God to take control of our mouth and put his words in it. And that's why we have this rush when God sets up a circumstances for us to talk to somebody about God, because it's God again putting his words in our mouth. On the first day of Pentecost, God said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And then verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. I remember that morning my wife was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was the one who wanted to come to church. She didn't want to come to church. So we were both baptized that morning, and some came up to me and said, so are you disappointed? She got it and you didn't. And I wasn't that smart, but I knew one thing. It's a promise. God doesn't make promises that he doesn't keep. So, who made your mouth? I believe we can conquer all by opening our mouth in praise. What the devil wants to do is keep your mouth shut. That's where the victory for him is. And we will receive strength and joy as a result of opening our mouth and worshiping God, not just in the beginning, but every day. Everyone needs to worship God. Blind Bartimaeus, sit down and shut up. No, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. I'm telling you, that's not what we do around here. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. You better shut your mouth. Mm-mm. And God walks right up to somebody whose mouth was open, who was praising a God that he had never met. Amen. Hallelujah. 6 days, keep your mouth shut. 7th day, march around 7 times and shout. Hallelujah. Here's where we get the victory. Here's where the walls fall down. Here's where the habits are taken away. Here's where the diseases are healed. Here's where we get new strength and vitality. Here's where the laughter starts. Here's where the singing starts. Glory to God. Now I'm thinking we ought to have a song service. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking that in this song service, something is going to erupt in this place. I got a feeling that somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get delivered in this place. I believe it. I believe it's going to happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus.